live my life. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good. Do I need to turn this on or are we on? Is it on?
No.
I'm good. Praise God. Good to be with you. Good to see you.
Amen.
Man, I'm glad I put Castle Rock in my travel plans.
Yes.
We were in Illinois last week, Southern Illinois. And that was an experience, but great, great people, great church, so honorable. And then I'm going to be traveling this week to hear one of my absolute favorite preachers. Yeah, on, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday evening, Amy's ministering at a women's conference in Atlanta. And so I'm going to go hear her. Come on, give me some.
He's going to the women's conference.
And then from there, we go to Nebraska, and then who knows, Canada the next week. But anyhow, glad to be with you here today. And believe God's got something for us. If you open your heart and be in what we call receiving mode, I know you are already. And turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians today. Hallelujah. It's been good to be here already. Bless him, bless him. Did you find Ephesians 3?
Yes.
You're familiar with the great prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, which we'll not necessarily read all of it. But starting in verse 17, it says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." That's the Greek word agape. You know that, right?
Agape.
And agape is an important word for love. It's not the human word for love, if we can say it that way.
Right.
I was born in Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love. That's
right.
What it's called. And Philadelphia is actually a Greek word for love that refers to brotherly or human love. But you go to the wrong part of Philadelphia, you might get mugged or murdered, man. So that it's not all love. It's not all love.
That's the truth.
But anyhow, I was born there. So there's that. But agape is a different word. And agape is a variety of love that comes from God, that God puts in us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's characteristics to that love. Just letting you know about that. It's not really my subject per se.
Mm-hmm.
It applies. That you might be rooted and grounded in love and may have strength, or the ability, we could say, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, say that with me, the breadth, and length,
and
height,
and depth.
So you're talking about, look up here for a second, you're talking about this way, and this way, and this way, and this way, which kind of gets it all, yeah?
Yes.
So could we just say, that you could comprehend how all-encompassing and really limitless.
Yes.
Verse 19 says, to know the agape of Christ, to have experience with this God kind of love. Now, the main thing that this God kind of love does, the chief characteristic is that this love gives.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not a passive feeling. It's an active flow or an active force, if you want to use that word, either way. But it's an active thing that's endeavoring to bring some things to your life. Okay?
Agape.
God, he wants us to know the agape of Christ that surpasses knowledge, meaning it's always bigger than what you can think. It's always deeper than you could understand. It's always higher. It's always broader, longer.
Amen.
You might say, I would have stopped loving that person a long time ago. Yeah, that's why you don't understand.
Right.
You don't understand. This goes longer than your love goes.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So to know the agape of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you, talking to you today, you Homer, you Henry, you Wilma, you might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
That you might be filled. The Greek word translated as filled, it literally means to cram your nets.
Yes.
Or to cram, that you might be crammed. And how does this being crammed come? Well, of course, you know, we teach this pretty strong, that you need to be cramming your life or filling your life with the things of God,
right.
The Word of God,
right.
with the expressions of the Spirit of God.
Right.
You know, that's why we'll fuss at you with a smile. We'll give you a fuss with a smile if you're letting us do the praising.
Right.
Yeah.
Because your filling doesn't come from our praising.
No, right. Come on.
Your filling doesn't come from our praising. Your filling comes from your praising. And He wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. And, you know, you can't look at this verse without looking at the Amplified, but it talks about being filled with the richest measure of His divine presence, becoming a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself, is what that says. And that's God's desire. That's God's desire. Now, a lot of times we'll preach on this verse. I do. Yeah. Anyhow, but I want you to see the next word says now. Mm-hmm. That would join what He is saying to what He's about to say.
Right. Yeah.
So He says now what? Now that you understand some things about how massive this love of God is.
Yeah.
And now that you got your life crammed with the fullness of God, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. We need a better amen from the crowd today.
Amen.
So because you're living in this place of fullness, now He's able.
Yep.
Now he's able
to do.
Yes. Yes.
Far abundantly above. You seeing it? He's able to do far more abundantly. I have this in me, worked in me in the King James, where it says, now to Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Same thing, but I know those words better, you know. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us. What power is that? That's what you got full of.
Right.
That's that stuff you're full of. If there's nothing working in you, He's got no, his ability can't accomplish its purpose.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
To the power at work within us, to Him be glory. What is the glory of God? It's God being able to manifest. You know what gets God glory? When He's able to do in your life what He wants for your life. When He's able to do for you like He wants to do, then your life reflects Him.
Glory.
Yes. And when your life reflects Him, He's pleased. He's glorified.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because how many know God is, for the most part, invisible to the natural eye, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean He can't show up, show out, and show off. He wants to do all of that, but He can only do it through you.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And so I want you to know today that in your life, He wants to do some things for you that are exceeding abundantly beyond, or far more abundant.
Amen.
Is that how it said? Did I get it close? Far more abundantly.
Yes. Yeah.
How many would be okay with just abundantly? If He's able to do abundantly, you'd be okay with abundantly. And then how many would be okay if you want a little more than abundant? Because what is abundance? Abundance is overflow or excess.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we struggle so much of the time. It was like, God, just give me, can you just spare a?
Come on.
Because you ever remember growing up, if you were a city boy, there was times I was a city boy, you were a city girl. And it was like, sister, can you, you know, they'll start talking sister, brother to you.
Mm-hmm.
Sister, can you spare? Can you spare a dime? Can you spare a quarter? I mean, for a quarter, when I was growing up, you could get a couple packs of now and laters. You know what I'm talking about? Some for now, Some for later. Amen. If you had any teeth by the end of those things, you're doing really good. Can you spare a dollar? Can you spare a five? And folk take that attitude into their relationship with God. Like, Lord, can you spare a little something?
Come on.
Can you?
Could you spare?
A little? He can do abundantly.
Yes.
He can not just get you what you need. But he take you to overflow and excess. Listen. I didn't write these words. I didn't write the Greek definition to abundance. Perisos, exceeding, superior in quality and superabundant in quantity. I didn't write it. That's what it means. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's just the truth. So if God could do abundantly, that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
But he said, what if you just want more than that? Then there's more abundantly.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What's more abundantly? It's just more of the excess, more of the overflow.
Yes.
Yeah.
More of it.
More of it.
But then that's not all. It's like my favorite infomercial. We used to have infomercials. We didn't have the shopping channel or the shopping network. We'd have an infomercial. My favorite one, you know what it is, the Ginsu knife commercial from when I was a kid. It slices. It dices. Come on now. But the thing about it is, as soon as they get you sold on the knife, you think, I'm not sure whether I want to order this or turn the channel. And they'll always say this phrase, but wait. There's more. If you order now, you get two knives. For the price of one. And so that's just how God is. You think, Lord, this is amazing. This is wonderful. And he's always like, yeah, you like that? But wait. There's more. He's able to do far, far, far. You ever try to drive somewhere and you realize, wait a second, I didn't realize on the map this was only an inch. On the map, this wasn't anything.
Yeah.
But wait a second, this is far.
Yeah.
What's that mean? It's way, it's beyond what you were thinking. He's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask and all we think or imagine. Now, he's not able to do it indiscriminately.
Nope.
He's not able to do it just based on his ability.
Right.
Just based on his ability.
Right.
Because if that was the case, everybody's life would reflect this verse.
That's right.
He's able to do it according.
According.
To the measure of or to the proportion of the what's working within us. His power in us. His fullness in us.
Yes.
Amen. And this is God's desire for your life.
Yes.
Amen. He wants to do for you. He wants to do things for you that will cause him to be glorified in your life. And people that, people that maybe just meeting you, they'll say, wait a second, my life doesn't reflect this. Why does your life reflect this? And you can say, let me introduce you to the one who made this come to pass, because I couldn't have made this. I couldn't have come up with this. Far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's a number of verses along these lines, but I'm just telling you, this is God's desire for you. He wants to do for me. He wants to do for you exceeding abundantly, far more abundantly beyond what you ask or think. So this one of the things this does is it lets us know that our definitions and our paradigm is not always the same as God's. Because we tend to think and ask and seek according to, not according to the breadth, length, depth, and height of the agape of God.
Come on now.
Right.
But according to conditions in the natural, according to what I see, according to what I grew up with, according to standards that were presented to me, and your parents said, oh, listen, we ain't rich, we ain't this, we ain't that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so those things box in our thinking.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so it's God's desire. We know from this verse, it's God's desire to just kick both ends out of that box.
Right. Yeah.
Kick the top off of that box.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he gave you the box. He gave you the box. He gave you four corners. He gave you four corners. Length, breadth, depth, height. All of it is beyond understanding. All of it is there's never a time where God's able where God's ability is capped by like you're I got it all.
No.
None of that made sense. I just tried to say, but you know what I'm trying to say. How many know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
God always goes beyond. God always goes beyond. He's always beyond.
Amen.
And so we need to renew our minds to this, you know, like we're which is what we're doing here today, and we need to apply this to the different areas of our life.
Right.
Because if it's God, it's this.
Amen.
That's good.
If it's God, it's this. It's this. And our job is to discern the different things we come up with, the different things. Our job is to discern what does God have for us?
Right.
What does God desire for us?
Right.
And then at what level is he leading us now? Amen.
Right.
I'm telling you, whatever it is you're facing or whatever it is you're chewing on or believing for or using, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
First thing you got to do, you got to discern some things from God. If you were here Tuesday, we talked about 1 Corinthians 2. Remember that ninth verse, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, where it says, eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that
love.
Agape him. The things God has prepared. What are those things like? They were just up on the screen, but we have to put another quarter in to make it come back. There we go. The things that God has for you is this. They're far more abundantly than what in the natural you'd ask or think. And you have to, by the Spirit and by His Word, discern and adopt His definitions in place of your definitions. His plan instead of your plan. His vision instead of your vision. That's what you got to do. You got to do. And when what he has, when what he brings to you might be beyond what you had thought, you can't just buck it. You can't just come against it and say, well, this isn't how I was taught. This is more. I don't need all this. I'm not just talking natural things, but it applies to natural things. You know, years ago, it's been 10 years ago now. What's it, 2023? So 10 years ago, exactly, really, God started dealing with us about the home that we live in now, here. That's, bless the Lord, we call it sold. It's on the market.
Amen.
And he started dealing with us about that. And the thing about it is, it was, it's, you know, was a great place, beautiful place, but we where we were was sufficient. It was sufficient. Meaning we weren't just banging into each other in the hallway. You know, we had a basement that was so we could spread out a little bit. It worked for us. Not only that, it was comfortable from a more comfortable from a financial standpoint and all that. And really what he was showing us and leading us towards was such a stretch. It was and we really didn't know all the hows and in and outs of even how could this happen and how could and so it was beyond it was abundant it was far it was in some ways far more abundant than what we were thinking so really the night before we were supposed to close on it we didn't go through a whole a normal route let's just say it that way to buy it we went through we actually did a deal directly with the owner of it and then refinance and stuff like that later on. So we could have backed out with no consequence until we signed. And so the night before we're laying there in bed and I don't think I'll ever forget that night laying there, because I can see the room and everything like that. And we're just laying there and saying, you know, this place we're in right here, this is nice.
It's good.
We're comfortable here. We could be happy here. Yeah. What say we just stay? What say we just stay?
Yeah.
And so what we were coming up against is God had definitions for us. And on the inside of me, we were struggling.
Yeah.
We were struggling to accept what he was leading us toward, because we just didn't see why.
We didn't see,
you know, we couldn't, all the reasoning wasn't matching up.
Right.
And really, so we went to bed that night kind of deciding, well, we'll call it in the morning. But we kind of said, let's just think about maybe calling it off and not doing it, because it would have been fine with the seller. They didn't want to sell to us anyhow. They wanted to market it for a lot more money.
Right.
So I had begged them.
Yeah, begged him to let us buy it. Yeah.
You know, begged him, and it's all fun and games until you go to sign on the dotted line.
Yeah.
It was no problem when I was begging him to sell it to me. Then when he said yes, I'm like, oh, geez. What do you mean yes? I didn't know you was going to say yes. I was just enjoying the chase, you know what I mean? I didn't know we were actually going to get a fish on this hook.
Come on.
And so that next morning, I wake up prophesying. Never done that before, never done that since. But God was just encouraging me. And he said things like, this is going to be a blessing to your life. This is going to be a blessing to the ministry. This is, don't be afraid to step out in faith. And just encouraged me. You know, how many here you've ever needed encouragement? You know, that's what you're getting today. You're getting some encouragement. Maybe forcing it on you a little bit, but still you're getting it nonetheless. And we did. We went through, and it. One of the things it did is it brought us up on the inside.
Yes.
And we conformed to
that level.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
And it helped us.
Yeah.
It helped, and it was. It's been everything God said it was.
Amen.
Amen. And now somebody else loves it and maybe doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
So somebody has to have it, can't live without it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because he's got another level for us. We don't. That's what we know. That's all we know.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. We're gonna find it. We're not gonna fuss and argue this time.
No,
we're not. We're covenant. We commit right now. No fuss. No muss. Whatever you say. Whatever you show.
Yeah.
We might not know how. We might not know when.
Come on.
But praise God. We're not gonna.
Yes.
We're not gonna dishonor him.
Amen.
By saying no. I think I'll just. I'm good. I'm good. You gotta be careful about saying that phrase. I'm good.
Yeah.
You ever go to ministers? So I've gone to lay hands on somebody. They're like, "No, I'm good." I'm like, well, no, you're not. But but that's fine. If you don't want it.
Yeah, you don't want it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, wow.
You ain't good unless you got all of God's good.
That's
yeah.
right.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Wow. So this 27th Psalm, please. 27th Psalm. You know, part of what we're doing today is just helping you, helping our perspective, all of us, helping you, helping me. Psalm 27. You know, God is misrepresented by almost everything in this world.
Wow.
He's misrepresented by almost everything in this world. And then to add to that, the God of this world, Satan or the devil, endeavors to misrepresent him constantly.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Amen. And if he can get you and I satisfied with less, willing to settle, then he has won, because God gets less glory to himself because he's not able to do far more abundantly above because his power is not working in you.
Right?
He's, in other words, he's not able to do his part because you're not open to receive his part.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's the truth. Now, the 27th Psalm, you know, we get a lot of traction out of this verse here in verse 13. It says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord someday when we all get to heaven.
No.
Did I say it wrong?
No. Yeah, you did say it wrong.
Sorry. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Get that Amplified translation for me, because you can't read this, just like you can't read Ephesians 3 without looking in the Amplified. This one, it says, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. How many know if you are willing and obedient, Isaiah said, you'll eat the good, or other translations say the best of the land. So I'm not interested in having my definition or my parents' definition or my neighborhood's definition of the best. I want God's definition of what's best. Well, what are you saying? What are you putting in front of me? That's the best. That's his best is best. Let him pick.
Let him pick.
Let him author things in your life instead of you picking and then trying to make him say, God, come on, catch up to me. Catch up to me. Bless what I'm doing.
No.
Doesn't work that way.
No.
Let him author it.
Yes.
Let him pick. You know what we say. You know what I like?
I like
what? Tell me.
What God likes.
That should be on the sweatshirt.
Uh-huh.
I like what God likes. Amen. And then how many times do all of us have to struggle with, we have our preferences, we have the things that we want, what I want has to include this, and this. And you have your thing, and it's like, okay, God, now match what I like.
Come on now.
And in every case, you'll sell yourself short and end up with less. And it may not always look that way. I know a very, very dear couple to me years ago. I mean, it's been many years ago now, probably 7 or 8 years ago, they were in position to purchase a home. And they asked me, because they knew God had done some things over the years with us, with homes. And so they had asked me to help them and maybe go on some showings with them, which I did. And they brought along a list. And on the list, it said, we have to have, so it was something like 6 bedrooms. Mm. X number, they weren't looking at huge square footage by, I don't know, Colorado standards. You know. But it had to have this.
Yeah.
And it had to have this on the first floor.
Uh-huh.
And it had to have this. And it had to have this. Right. And there was, what was not on the list was the witness of God's Spirit.
Come on. Yeah.
And I went with them, and there was one. I remember walking in the house, and I'm like, what do y'all think about this? And they're like, well, it doesn't have this on it. I'm like, check in here, because this is an opportunity. Pricing, this would be an opportunity.
Right.
Check your heart.
Right.
Wouldn't do it. Wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
And that dear family, and I pray this changes form soon, but they're still not in a house.
Right. That was years ago.
Prices have tripled.
Yep.
And they're not in it because they were bound to their preference.
Right.
What do we like?
I like what God likes.
But thing is, it's always going to end up being far abundantly beyond.
Right.
We've testified many times, but it's absolutely the truth. This wasn't our preference.
No. Come on now.
She wasn't mine, and I got to know that I wasn't hers.
True. Come on now.
Amen. Looks? No. Personality? No. Likes, dislikes? None of it. None of it. Except when God got in it.
Right.
God came on it.
Yeah. Come on now.
And I'm like, well, you know, actually, I was looking at some other things. I was looking at one of her friends.
Uh-huh.
One of her other friends liked me.
Yeah. It was big.
You know, it was like, you're picking from the pot.
Come on.
This wasn't, it just wasn't there. But I'm telling you, this is exceeding abundantly.
Yes.
All those adjectives.
Yeah.
All of that.
All of it.
All of that. Amen. Is what I have.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And everybody who practices these verses can have what we have.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You got to throw your preference
out.
Wad it up, throw it out, and say, whatever you say is what I want.
Amen.
Amen. We're starting to preach all right here today. Are we starting to preach all right?
Yes.
You're in Psalms, right? Go over to Jeremiah. What's the most famous verse in Jeremiah? Well, let's read that one since y'all know it. Jeremiah 29. Yeah, 29:11, right? Forget about the fact that verse 10 actually talks about them getting to come back from captivity of Babylon.
Right, right.
That's amazing. That would be amazing. If you lived in this time, you wouldn't think verse 11 is the big verse.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But anyhow, for I know the plans I have for you. And doesn't this, of course, this applied to Israel, but doesn't this apply to us?
Yes.
Declares the Lord, plans for welfare. Yeah. No, not plans for you to be on welfare.
Come on.
The NIV says plans to prosper you, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, an expectation of seeing his goodness.
Yes.
That's God's plan for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then while I still have a voice, bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go to Ephesians 2. I just can't seem to preach this quiet like.
Good. Thank you.
But you need to know this. You need to know this today.
Yes.
Amen.
Ephesians 2. We'll get this up in the Amplified too, okay? That would help me. We'll just read it in the Amplified. Listen, don't get too excited today, everybody. Come on, save something for next time. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Did I not even tell you verse 10? Thank you. In the Amplified. You're helping. We're getting there. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live.
Amen.
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 He's got plans for your life, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It's a good life. He's got a good life for you.
Yeah.
He's got a good life for
you.
Listen, good life isn't a life with no challenges. That's not good. That'll make you a spiritual weakling.
Come on.
True.
Amen. You got to win some battles to get some strength.
Come on now.
But the good life is the God-authored life. The good life is the life where God leads you into this thing. God leads you into this. That's the good life.
Amen.
We have been living the good life for decades. And I'm telling you, it is a good life. I feel sorry for anybody who lives here that's not here.
Come on.
Because you can't, amen, unless there's a church that's preaching just this same type of stuff. I'm not aware of one just right here locally, you know. But we're living the good life, and we're not satisfied to have it to ourselves. We want everybody to have this good life. God's authored it. For everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be like, what preacher am I going to sound like by the time? T.D. Jakes, man. But bless God, brother can preach. Shambach had a clear voice, but it was. I'll tell you sometime about when I went to see R.W. Shambach. Praise the Lord. He offended me greatly. I needed it. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. So if you want to live in this exceeding abundantly above, far more abundantly life, there are certain thoughts and concepts that you can't allow them to remain in you. And you have to answer these things when you recognize these kind of thoughts in your life. Can I share just a few of these thoughts here as we close up today? First of all, you got to deal with this thought that will come that you've been left out.
Come on now.
You've been left out. Anybody ever felt like, I'm not going to ask for testimonies. I'm not going to pass the microphone. But the enemy, I know, listen, if he does it to me, he'll do it to you. He'll say, well, you've been left out. Well, the Bible says I've been brought near.
Come on. Amen.
Not left out.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Yes. I've been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
I've been brought in.
Right.
Yeah. I'm part of the in crowd.
Yeah.
Greater is he that's in me.
Glory to God.
I'm in him. Yeah. He's in me. How much further in can you be?
Right. Yeah. Come on now.
Amen. Everybody say it with me. I'm in.
I'm in.
I am in.
I am in.
You don't believe the lie that you've been left out. Here's another one. Don't believe this thought that you're not worthy of God's best.
Come on.
I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of God's best. Mm. Well, let's clear this up right away, can we?
Yeah.
You deserve hell.
Come on now.
For eternity.
Yeah, that's right.
You've sinned. All have sinned. Yeah. You've transgressed God.
Right.
You deserve nothing. But he still gave you everything.
Come on now.
I'm not worthy of God's best. Well, it's too late, sweetheart. He already gave you his best when he gave you Jesus. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things.
Amen.
All things.
Amen.
The thought will come, you're not worthy of God. You need to answer that thought.
Yes.
Huh? The thought will come, you'll never have that. Anybody ever heard it? You'll never have that. I already have all things that pertain to life and God. I already have all things that pertain to life and godliness. If it's God's plan for me, if God reveals it in the Word and leads me to it by His Spirit, He's already given it by His grace. Don't tell me I'll never have what I already have. Don't tell me I'll never have what he's already given me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yay.
Amen.
And listen, here's just another one. God might do that kind of thing for the pastors.
Come on.
But he wouldn't do that for you. Well, let me tell you, I know a lot of pastors that don't have.
No.
His plan for your life is more than you can ask or think. His plan for your life is more than you can imagine. More than you can imagine. And then listen, here's this other thought. It's too late. Maybe if you were still 20, you could have had, if you were this age. Can I get a witness from anybody here? You're going to make me do all the preaching and you do nothing. It's too late. Listen, Moses started his ministry at 80 years of age. You want to know who it's too late for? It's too late for the one who keeps telling you it's too late. He can't repent. He can't get right with God. It's too late. When he tells you it's too late, you start reminding him it's too late.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, Jesus. I might need to tag out almost. But I got a preaching partner here, don't you worry. Here's another thought. La, 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 la.
God's good.
But he's not that good. If you've been around us, you know the famous prophecy. You know the famous word from heaven. What is the print the t-shirts? What is it? He's that good.
Yes. Come on now.
Yeah, God's good. God's good, all right, but he's just not
that good.
He's that good.
That good.
That good.
That
he's too good. And then this thought will come. You're just dreaming.
Oh, come on now.
A dream is an inward imagination. And God can do far more abundantly above all we ask or imagine.
Wow.
Don't let anybody take your dreams.
Amen.
Don't let anybody.
Come on.
And we've already talked about this one a little bit, but no one in your family's ever had that.
Right.
No one in your family has ever done that. Nobody like you can do that. I'm not in that family anymore.
Right.
I'm in a new family.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
So even if it seems impossible, that means nothing.
Right.
Just start preparing for the impossible.
Glory to God.
Just prepare for it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
What was John the Baptist's ministry? Prepare the way of the Lord. Didn't look like no Messiah was going to jump on the scene. What was Noah's job? Prepare for rain.
Right.
It ain't no rain.
Right.
Ain't nobody know what no rain was.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
What was the 10 virgins' job? Keep oil in your lamps. Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Amen. What's the famous song that Scar sang in The Lion King? Be prepared. Amen. And I sang it just about as good as he sang it.
Amen.
Tag.
Glory.
Boom. That's all I got.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's that good.
He's that good.
Now, for those of you who weren't there that Tuesday night when that phrase came out, I was reading a story, a testimony of John G. Lake. And it was, while he had his healing rooms, there was a gal named Mrs. Cook, Sister Cook, we call her. And she had had multiple, and it's been years since I've actually read it, so I don't want to tell all the details, 26 surgeries on her bottom part, her lower intestines, and she was having trouble because every time it would heal up, it would close off her intestine. She couldn't use the restroom. And so the only solution they had, this is back in the early 1900s, right? The only solution they had was to do more surgery. So, she just kept going through all of this cyclically for over a year and a half or so. She was going through all this. And she finally said, I'm done with the doctors. I've got to, and so she hooked up with John G. Lake in the healing rooms, and she started hearing about that, and he ministered to her. And God supernaturally caused her not to need to use the restroom in that way with her intestines for 30 days. And in that time, her body was actually able to heal and to return to normal function. And then at the end of 30 days, now, it was uncomfortable for her in those 30 days, as you can imagine. She didn't walk around like in the glory the whole time. She was actually passing out because of the pressure that was going on in her body. But God had his hand on it and was doing a work. And then after 30 days, she was passing out in public. They were taking her to the hospital. She'd wake up right before they were going to give her another surgery, and she'd say, no, I'm done with surgery. And she'd get herself out. This was incredible. And so after 30 days, she's in a service where the glory of God is, and she feels the anointing come on her, and the Spirit deals with her. Go use the restroom. So she goes out, in the middle of the service, uses the restroom with no problem whatsoever, and was completely healed. And my husband, when he was hearing that testimony, he was realizing, is God that good? Is he that good that he would care so much for how someone is able to use the restroom? Come on. That their digestion and their body functions properly. And it came up. He's that good. He's that good. He's that good. And we only say it three times because he really is that good. He's that good. He's that good. He is exceedingly abundantly above. He's beyond anything we could ask or imagine. He's got such good things for us. Hallelujah. So today, I don't know about you, I was extremely encouraged. Why? Because these are all verses we've heard before, but they need to be real. They need to be vivid, because God will always have more. And that's always going to require us to see more, to step into more, to take a big gulp and by faith say, okay, if this is what you have for me, then I believe you, and here we go. Glory to God. Just his grace, just what his provision isn't enough. It takes our faith to step into what he's provided and grab hold of it. Glory to God. He's that good. Hallelujah. He's that good. Praise God. Father, thank you so much today for this message. Thank you for the opportunity to be encouraged in all that you have for us. Lord, help us. Open the eyes of our understanding that we can see and know in greater measures than we've seen before all that you want for us in this season, all that you have for us in this time. Thank you, Father, that it is exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And it's according to that which you can work in us. So we say today we're open to it. We're open to receive it. We're open to see it. We're open to step into it. We're open to take it. We're open to receive it. We're open to have it. We're open to walk in the measure you have for us. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Good? Good. We're dismissed.